Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
If these are people that you would otherwise hang out with, get the hell out of there. Go sit at a random table, go to the bar downstairs and just walk up to somebody that's having a conversation, put your hand out, introduce yourself. And that's the networking part.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best Ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed. Today I am joined by Ash Patel and Joe Cornwell. Just under a week ago, we got back from the 2024 Best Ever Conference in Salt Lake City. This is our roundtable conversation, wrapping up our main takeaways from the conference. I have a couple of things I would like to jump in on here. Ash, Joe, I'll ask for your take on this here in a moment, but my first big takeaway, and it was very clear on the morning, day one of the conference, when Ben Lapidus came up on stage and said they were trying really hard for diversity of opinion on stage, and they had to go scrounging to find a high-level economist or presenter who would say that we are not out of the recession. The general sentiment among the people who were there, not among everyone, but speaking generally, is that whatever recession is coming in this post-COVID inflationary moment that we find ourselves in, the recession is over and we're all just waiting for interest rates to come down any day now, so that we can get back to business as usual in transacting commercial real estate. Heard it from stage, heard the idea that the recession is over referenced from stage multiple times. There was not nearly as frightened an audience as it was last year when everyone was saying stay alive till 25 in 2023. Ash, what is your take on your experience from the conference, but whether or not we are quote unquote out of this recession?
Yeah, first, the conference was a whirlwind. It is by far the best networking of any conference I've ever been to or heard of. Everybody that was there just raved about the connections they made. The people that couldn't make it this year were very sorry that they weren't able to attend, but certainly announced they'll be back next year. So again, anybody who's not been to the Best Ever Conference, there's all levels of people. I would say 25-30% of the audience is LPs, people just looking for deals. And that's amazing because you have an audience from around the country that attends this conference looking to find operators where they can put money into. So it is the best real estate networking around. In terms of interest rates, I've always believed interest rates are not coming down anytime soon. The problem is it's real estate people and Wall Street people that believe rates are coming down because it behooves them. We cannot have the longest bull run in history and all of a sudden have a soft landing. And the big problem is the media. When Powell spoke two meetings ago, there was a Fed president who wasn't even on stage who had notes that he wrote down. There's going to be 4 rate cuts next year. All of the media outlets ran with that. I listened to Powell's speech. He said no such thing. And when he was asked about the other Fed president that talked about the rate cuts, he said, I'm not going to comment on that. So the media is skewed and then people run with it. Then Powell announced that there's probably rate cuts coming. The inflation numbers, the job numbers came out. And now he's like, yeah, probably not going to happen anytime soon. Look, rates are not coming down. There hasn't been enough pain inflicted. Now, in terms of a recession, anybody who thinks we have a soft landing, go talk to a business owner. Talk to anybody that sells cars, has a restaurant, has a catering business, has a hotel, and they'll tell you sales are down across the board. Talk to the middle class who are cutting back on spending. Inflation's hit the grocery stores. Look, we're not out of the woods. We're not even in the woods yet, is my opinion.
Yeah, to add on to that, I think with the Best Ever Conference specifically, I agree completely. This was my first time. I had an incredible experience. I got to meet a lot of great operators and LP investors. The networking was the best networking I've ever had at any real estate event I've been to. So agree completely with Osh's takeaway from that side of it. As for the economy, I agree. I don't think rates are getting cut anytime soon. The last chair meeting that they just had, I think it was last week. Now the sentiment that's being echoed from Powell is about rates staying elevated for longer than I think at one point they anticipated. Obviously, the CPI numbers that came out last week were higher than expected again. So this is 2 months in a row now that they've came in higher than anticipated. And I think right now we're at a mid three somewhere for the year over year, mid threes on the inflation rate. So obviously quite a bit higher than the target rate of 2%. Some people are saying that the 2% rate's not a real target. That's kind of like a talking point. But either way, it's still above where they want it to be. So I don't see anytime soon rates getting cut. I think best case scenario for people waiting on rates to drop, it's going to be end of this year or at some point next year. And I certainly don't think we're going to have multiple rate cuts this year.
Well, Joe, to your point, in March, the inflation rate was 3.2% as of mid-April, up to 3.5%. So the inflation number is going the opposite way of the Fed. Look, an unpopular opinion, I don't want to see this happen, but the Fed needs to shock the market. People are anticipating rate cuts. Historic Fed presidents have done this. Greenspan was the most notable. All of his rate increases never shocked the market until they overshot it. So if they raise rates again, that will straighten people out a little bit. So the market's got to get shocked. Everyone's talking about a soft landing. The Wall Street Journal has articles all the time on this is what a soft landing could look like. Here's the likelihood of it happening. It's all hopes and dreams and far from reality.
Yeah.
One more question for each of you, especially for Osh, on this recession point, and then we'll transition. I want to talk about our tenants. Joe and I have very similar tenants, of course, both focused in the Cincinnati market in multifamily, everything ranging A, B, C class. Osh, your tenants are very different from ours, being that they are almost exclusively business owners across a few different non-residential asset classes. With regards to recession, I know right now my team is seeing lower inquiry volumes on our Class A and B stuff, talking about location, not property age, because that doesn't really work as well in Cincinnati. But we're just seeing lower inquiry volumes. Fewer people are interested, even when we're at market appropriate rent rates. And then for our C area rental listings, we have a lot more applications coming in than before with low credit scores. So generally speaking, our requirement is a 600 credit score or higher for these apartments. And we're having a lot of people tell us they have a 600 and then apply, and they're somewhere between 550 and 600. And it's almost always because of credit card debt or some other revolving payment that they haven't been able to make the last few months. So lower inquiry volume on nicer, higher quality residences, and then same inquiry volume, but lower credit scores coming in almost across the board in the C areas that I manage. First, Joe, does that resonate with your experience right now? And then I want to hear from Ash.
Yeah, I think that we have had less inquiries, less applications the last 6 months than we have had the last 7 years prior to that. And I've seen some of the apartments that we always had overwhelming responses on. I think part of that is the fact that I have outsourced a lot of my marketing to my team. So it's a smaller part of what they do than when I focused on it. And it's also less of a priority for them than it would have been for me. So I think that's one of the issues, but it also is a market factor. I think that we are seeing less demand. I think people are being more picky. And I think a lot of people, as you mentioned, are looking for the best value, not necessarily the best neighborhood or the best place to live. Because our C and D quality type of assets, we've still had overwhelming demand on.
All right. So let me rock your guys' world here. Retail vacancy is the lowest it's ever been in history, right around 4%. We've never had a higher caliber of tenants knocking down our doors for any retail vacancy that we have. We're signing national tenants to long-term leases. We're turning away tenants because we're holding out for better tenants, and we're getting them. We're getting flooded like we've never gotten flooded before with big national tenants wanting to sign 10, 15-year leases. Retail is the healthiest it's ever been in history. So we're rocking. This is why I've encouraged people for the last 15 years to look at other asset classes, pivot into non-residential commercial. Industrial's on fire. The year-over-year rents for industrial are the highest of any asset class. The demand for retail versus the supply is unheard of. 4% vacancy. We've never seen that number.
Ash, how does that reconcile with what you were saying previously about most business owners will tell you that their sales have dropped? So you have higher caliber tenants coming at you for your available retail spaces in a moment where most retail sales are dropping?
Yeah, that's a good question. So mom and pop businesses, your local businesses, are certainly suffering because the middle class isn't spending as much. However, I think inflation is helping your big national retailers. Dollar General's opening 800 stores. O'Reilly, Aldi's, everybody's opening hundreds of stores. There's sporting goods stores popping up left and right, discount stores. Retail, again, if you look at store openings versus store closings, and the problem is you see headlines, Dollar Tree closing 100 stores, but they don't tell you on the back end how many additional ones they're opening. The clickbait headlines paints a doom and gloom picture for retail office. But when you Google retail store openings 2024, retailers are in the hundreds of stores that they're planning to open for 2024.
That makes a lot of sense. Back to the 2024 conference we just came out of, another one of my observations. This was my third best ever conference. In 2022, everything was sunshine and rainbows and interest rates were in the threes because it was March of 22. Everyone was excited, bidding up every property they could write on. And then last year was all the doom and gloom messages from the stage that Midwestern investors didn't necessarily resonate with because our cap rates were still higher than interest rates at the time. But you heard a lot of the investors in the Smile States struggling. This year, the tone is rising back into that optimism, not necessarily where we were 2-3 years ago in the market cycle, but rising with regards to optimism. I also noticed that a lot of the especially multifamily syndicators and some self-storage syndicators who typically have booths, large presence, big team at the conference, weren't there this year. I'm wondering if that was your experience, Ash. Joe, as well, I want to hear from you, even though I know it was your first conference. A comment that was made to me the first time I remarked on this with a perennial conference attendee who's operating at a high level in his business was that for syndicators who rely heavily on acquisition fees and also asset management fees to make money, they've had a really rough couple of years. And since transactional volume is low across the board, they're not looking at generating the revenue for themselves that they were 2 years ago. So they're not making as big of a priority out of attending conferences right now, especially sponsoring them and paying more to be there. Ash, what is your take on this?
That's a great observation. And it goes back to kind of that somber atmosphere for multifamily in general, not knowing what lies ahead. And they're susceptible to floating rates, increased vacancy, lower rents. All the operators that, like you said, are perennials, it was a different tone this year. A lot more of them are looking to focus on operations, figure out how to save some of their deals. There's a lot of pause distributions, cash calls, and not to sound like a broken record, but in our world, things couldn't be better. We don't get floating rates. All of our loans, the lenders lock them in. So we've never been susceptible to rates going up because if we've done a deal, the rates are locked. And I want to backtrack a little bit. I pulled up some store openings for 2024. Dollar General, 800. Five Below, 227. Burlington, 140. Warby Parker, the online only eyeglass distributor or retailer, is opening 40 brick and mortar stores. So the opposite of the Amazon effect. Aldi, 126 stores. Tractor Supply is adding 4 million square feet. Dick's Sporting Goods, 75. Target, 300 stores. Now, CBRE published their 2024 Real Estate Outlook Summary. And it says retail vacancy will continue to drop. Multifamily vacancy will increase above pre-pandemic levels. Industrial rents will grow 8%. Hotels will slow because travel slowed down. Data centers, rent will increase by 10 to 15%. So it's a disparity of asset classes. And I don't understand why anybody would stick to that mantra, hyper-focus on one asset class. Hyper-focus on growing your money and growing your investor capital. If it's time to pivot, pivot, man. Jump off this ship. Get on to another one. So our mood, I hung out with a lot of non-residential investors. Everybody was flying high. But when we had these conversations with people that are either passively or actively involved in multifamily, it was a different tone. And it wasn't as upbeat as it was 2-3 years ago.
First part of that with the sponsors, obviously it's my first time there, so I didn't directly see the year-over-year change. I did, however, hear multiple people comment who were longtime Best Ever attendees mention that some of the people they know who are not sponsoring it this year, as you guys mentioned, they had issues where their model was predominantly based on raising capital and acquisition fees. And if they're struggling to do deals, then they're not raising the capital, as Slocum mentioned. So I think that was one. And two, there were some people who had to pause distributions, had to do capital calls. And this was not my words, but the words to me were that they just didn't want a big public persona, public image in a time where their business and their investments are struggling and their investors are struggling. So obviously that's just what I was told. I can't say firsthand what the motivations were for people who did not attend or sponsor as they have in the past. But as to Ash's comment, on shifting gears, I think that as investors, we should always be open to doing the best deals. Now, you have to have a knowledge base. And I've mentioned on the show many times that the last 6 months, I have tried to transition into learning more about mixed use and commercial real estate. And I'm of the mindset as an investor where I'm going to place my money and I'm going to raise money for the deals that have the highest opportunity of success and the highest opportunity of return. So for me, My background is in heavy value-add multifamily. I still love value-add multifamily, and I would do more of those deals if I can find the right deals. But it's oversaturated. It's extremely competitive. It's extremely difficult to find those type of deals. So I'm at a point where I'm going to look at every type of deal I can in my markets that I operate in. And if I can find the right types, I'll buy them, regardless of what they are. So I think everyone listening to this should have that same mindset of being open to doing good deals, whatever they may be.
I've got a follow-up question for you, Joe. You mentioned the field is saturated for value-add multifamily. Do you ever think it'll be unsaturated, that there'll be less competition?
I wouldn't even say value-add. I think value-add is actually more of a niche buyer, and there's less competition in that specific space, which is why that's what I focused on. Because
let's just say multifamily, the saturation of multifamily.
Multifamily in general, yes. I think it's competitive, and I think it ebb and flows like everything else in the market. But no, I don't think it's going to get to a point where it was in 2011, 2012, where they're listing a relatively turnkey property and they have one offer after 6 months of being on market. I don't think we're going back to that.
Yeah, here's my opinion on that, is there's low barriers to entry, and multifamily has a natural evolution where people start out with single families and then duplexes and quads, and then they get bigger units, and then they can progress. Normal evolution is to become a larger multifamily operator. There's relatively low barriers to entry. Joe Fairless wrote the Bible on multifamily syndication. He gave away all of his secrets to success, and I've interviewed a ton of people that read Joe's book, followed it to a T, and became very successful multifamily investors. And look, I get it. You go in there, LVP flooring, paint the kitchen cabinets, new hardware, bathrooms, covered parking, dog park, raise rents, rinse and repeat. With these other asset classes, every deal is so unique. So our competition is much lower. In 15 years, I've seen a best in final call one time. Normally, if there's a deal out there that's listed, you make an acceptable offer, done. There's so many deals that we've called on and they said, sorry, we just accepted an offer. I'm like, man, we would have paid you so much more money. Yeah, sorry, next time. In the multifamily world, because it's so competitive, they do multiple best in finals and then they let it wait a little bit like an auction. Come back, give us your best offer, give us better terms. We don't have that in commercial. The barriers to entry are much higher. For whatever reason, people think it's too hard, too expensive, too risky, and that's not the case. I want to say credit to Joe Fairless, because many years ago, he decided he wanted the best ever platform to encompass all commercial real estate and not just multifamily. So the diversity of the attendees at the Best Ever Conference has been growing significantly. We've met a lot of operators and varied asset classes. The vendors this year were phenomenal. The vendor booths all sold out very quickly, but historically, it would be mostly multifamily syndicators that set up a booth and they wanted to present their deals and attract additional investors. This year, we had a lot of real estate tech companies, companies that set up funds that help with operations. It was an incredibly diverse group of vendors, and I loved seeing that.
Yeah, for sure. I will say, though, within multifamily, I think, Joe, if we were all Phoenix-based buddies who played poker together, we'd be having a very different conversation about multifamily, given that Joe and I operate in the greater Cincinnati area. Within multifamily, the Midwest is having a bit of a moment in the sun, because we don't have the supply volatility that especially the Sun Belt is experiencing, where we have the main issue for current deals is all of the new construction competition coming in and offering incentives, first month free, things like that. I had some great conversations with Zach Haptonstall, Rise 48 Equity, about specifically Phoenix and Dallas and why he continues to buy aggressively there. He also presented on that. He was also a presenter last year at the conference. I think with a lot of the competition that we're seeing in multifamily, part of it's exacerbated in the Midwest because there's still cash flow here, even with the higher interest rates for a lot of deals. But also, I'm fortunate enough to have locked in the longest terms for my debt as I could back in 21 and early 22. So I haven't personally been experiencing the volatility that's in the market right now. All of my stuff is still cash flowing. I will say it is taking longer to find quality tenants for our rental listings, but other than that, it's been fairly smooth sailing.
We'll get back to the show, but first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. If you're an investor like me, you're probably looking for one platform to manage the banking and finance needs of your entire portfolio. The good news is, there is one. It's called Baselane, and it's the number one banking platform built for independent real estate investors that reduces busy work so you can focus on growing your business. With Baselane, you can earn up to a 4.19% annual percentage yield and 5% cash back on debit card spending with no monthly fees. With a simplified view of your cash flow and expenses, you can retire those tedious spreadsheets. You can also manage unlimited virtual accounts and cards, and even open separate accounts for each property or unit. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane for their banking, property management, and bookkeeping. Head over to baselane.com/Joe and sign up today for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's baselane.com/Joe.
Best ever conference 2024. A couple of questions left here. Generally speaking, outside of the conversation we've already had, what were your highlights from this past year? Whether it is a particular conversation with someone that you met, someone that you spoke with, a theme, the fact that there are more people who operate like you do or acquire like you do at the conference. I will say one of my favorite things about conference every year is being able to connect with people from all over the country. Wide variety, wide diversity of markets they're investing in. And this year in particular, I got to spend a good amount of time with a guy named AJ Shepard from Portland, Oregon, who I interviewed on the podcast a couple of years ago. His business is very similar to mine, but he started 7 years before I did. And his business is three times the size on unit count and more than that on AUM. So it was a great opportunity with him and other people from Georgia and other parts of the country to pick their brains about what they've figured out that I haven't. And there are a few things where they were asking me whether or not I had done something or set something up, and I'd never even heard of it before. And it sounds fantastic. And I'm excited to act on those ideas here in the coming weeks as I can implement some of those new things into my own business. Highlights from the conference. Joe?
One of my favorite parts was meeting people in the industry that I have looked up to, maybe read their books, maybe listened to their podcasts. And there were several people there that I have followed for many years since I first got into the educational side of real estate and trying to learn how to invest in real estate. So getting to finally meet those people face to face, have conversations was great. That was one of my favorite aspects of it. I also, as I mentioned in the intro, I met a ton of potential investors. I met a bunch of people interested in investing in Cincinnati in my market. And just getting to learn from people doing various types of real estate all over the country. So those were some of the most exciting things for me personally. But I also learned as a first-time attendee all the things that I should have done that I'm going to implement next year. So happy to share my learning curve. Because I think the conference is a personal experience, and what will give the most value for me attending it is going to be different for us, it's going to be different from Slocum and everybody else. So you really have to cater your experience and optimize it for you. But in hindsight, some of the things that I learned after the fact was the WOVA app that they use for the conference that I know you guys are all on. That's
Joe,
a great tool.
The advice for getting ready for next year's conference is my next question.
Oh, well, there we go. I'll save it for that then. All right, Ash, what were your most exciting moments of the conference?
One of my funnest moments was because Joe Cornwell is a new podcast host, he went through a bit of hazing. So we picked on each other a lot. But in all honesty, the best part about this conference, it seems like anybody who has an ego, it's checked in at the hotel door. Everybody there is so accessible. You can walk up to anybody, introduce yourself, and they genuinely want to hear your story. And everybody is there to help each other level up. It is phenomenal where nobody hoards knowledge. Everybody will freely talk about what made them successful, what lessons they've learned. And they are genuinely there to meet people, help each other. And Slocum, I know you wanted to dive into tips. So I've got a few. If you don't mind, I'm going to share those first.
Let me just say real quick, I 100% resonate with what you're saying. I used to attribute it to real estate investors in general, that we're very open and transparent people, and we're more than happy to share our secrets. I've learned since I was new several years ago that that's not necessarily the case. I latched on to the best ever meetup here locally in Cincinnati a long time ago. And I will say that a big part of that is that that is one of Joe Fairless's values and something that he has fostered into the best ever community through the conference, through the podcast, through a variety of local meetups in various markets now, is that openness, the willingness to share, help, serve one another as real estate investors. When you hear people talk about the reason why the Best Ever Conference is their favorite, it's always because of the networking and the people who are there. Top quality speakers, of course, everyone comes back to the quality of connection and relationship that they can get at the conference. Tips for next year. Ticket sales are already live. The dates are March 4th to the 6th, again in Salt Lake City, 2025. These links are in the show notes, but you can visit BEC2025.com to go ahead and get your tickets now. They start now with lower ticket prices and will raise them over the course of the year. So if you're planning to attend, I suggest you go ahead and get your tickets while they are as affordable as they're going to get. Ash, you ready to dive into your advice for getting ready for the conference next year?
Yes, but I loved what you said. I was at a multifamily meetup last night here in Cincinnati, and Fairless's name came up. And they're like, yeah, that guy's like the pioneer of syndication. And what you said about him setting the tone for real estate people to just be cooperative and play together, I think has done a lot for this industry. In all honesty, the guy is like the godfather of syndication. He's given away all his knowledge. He's helped everybody. He's created this platform. He's behind the conference. So he's done a tremendous amount for this industry. So I'm glad you brought that up. In terms of tips, look, the biggest thing is everybody bring business cards and bring up more than you think you're going to hand out. And this is the first time ever. Last year, the years prior, everybody had business cards that they handed out. What I really like about it is this is a conference where there's not many QR codes. Oh, here, my business card is electronic. This conference used to be all business cards. For whatever reason this year, there wasn't that many cards being traded. So I would encourage all of you to attend this conference and bring business cards. The second thing is you're there to network and meet as many people as you can. So I would sit with a group of people at lunch. And one of the worst things that I hear is, oh, I went to the conference just to hang out with a bunch of people from Cincinnati. That's the dumbest thing ever. So I was there with a bunch of my mastermind people, and I noticed one day we're all sitting at this table at lunch. I said, okay, here's the deal. Everybody get up. By the end of today, whoever has the most business cards picks a shot for anybody else in this group to do. So we dispersed in the lunchroom. And we started sitting at different people's tables. And I observed these guys and girls where they would just get up, go to one table, introduce themselves, meet everybody, find out genuinely what they're about, where they're from, what they invest in, and then get up and go to the next table and so on. And then that permeated out to the hallway where they would just start networking with other people. So push yourself out of the comfort zone. I know it's easy and fun to hang out with people that you want to spend time with. But if these are people that you would otherwise hang out with, get the hell out of there. Go sit at a random table, go to the bar downstairs and just walk up to somebody that's having a conversation, put your hand out, introduce yourself. And that's the networking part. A couple hacks is you meet so many people that it's hard sometimes to keep track of people. So everybody had a name badge with a QR code. What I would do is say, do you mind if I scan your code? And I would just take my camera, take a picture of their badge along with their face. So I have a reference of names and faces, and their QR code can be pulled from that picture. So remember why you're there. I'm speaking at a multifamily conference tomorrow, and I attended one of their sessions last night, and everyone's like, yeah, this is the greatest networking. This is the best group ever. And I want to remind people of that again. it's great that you attended this. You flew from halfway around the country to attend these meetups, but you failed if you don't follow up with these people. You can't just go to these conferences once a year and feel good about it and feel like you've networked if there's no follow-up. So whoever you meet, reach out to them, follow up with them, add value to them. That's the purpose. Otherwise, we're just taking a vacation and meeting some people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. Some of my tips, as I mentioned, the WOVA app, in hindsight, there is ways to create meetups. And this is something I didn't realize till the last day of the conference. But you can create a internal meetup within the conference attendees, and you can pick different niches of types of focus. So it could be like an Ohio meetup, which most of us here attended. It could be a Cincinnati group. It could be a multifamily, a small multifamily group. It could be value add real estate, whatever it is that you want to connect with those type of people. So that's something I'm definitely going to take advantage of next year and host a get together at one of the restaurants or bars or something. And when you go through all the presentations, it kind of, at least for me as a first time attendee, it was a little overwhelming. I think there were 60 individual presentations in the 4 days. And it's almost impossible to go to all those, even if you wanted to. So for me, I think it's doing the research and picking the ones that you're most interested in learning more about. Maybe it's the speaker, maybe it's the topic, whatever it may be. And setting a calendar or an alarm in your phone. Because I can't tell you how many times I wanted to listen or sit in on a presentation, and then I get into a really engaging conversation with somebody, and the next thing I know, I look down and it's 12:30 and the presentation started at 12 or 12:15, right? So set reminders, set alarms, cherry pick those ones, because for anyone who may not attend, everything's recorded. So if you miss one, you don't have to panic. You can always go back and watch it. So I'm not saying to attend presentations at the sake of networking, but if there's something you want to catch live, make sure you set a reminder. And then obviously you can go back and watch anything you might have missed. But as Ash said, the networking is far and away the most valuable aspect. I took a little bit different approach than Ash. I wanted to meet 10 or 15 people and develop a relationship. So those are people I got their cell phone numbers. I texted them. I followed up with them. I tried to meet up with them once or twice throughout the week. And instead of shaking 500 hands, I wanted to try to make a little bit deeper connections. And I don't remember who gave me that tip. I actually got that tip years ago. But either way, that was more my approach. And one last thing I'll say is that in 2024, young people don't carry business cards. So make sure you bring a business card for older guys like Ash who still function that way. But for the rest of us who are in the 21st century, one thing I learned that was valuable was if you click on your LinkedIn, everyone should have a LinkedIn if you're in real estate or in any professional business. But if you click the top of your LinkedIn search bar, it gives you a QR code that they can scan and it connects you both on LinkedIn. So somebody showed me that the first day, and I probably did that 50 times throughout the conference. So if you don't have business cards and you're not 80 years old, make sure you have a LinkedIn and a QR code that somebody can share. That's all I got.
Good job, Joe. I get the whole business card thing, and I am old. I don't think I attended more than a couple presentations because I wanted to be out in the hallways, and there's always a ton of people out there that you can just have great conversations with. Your meetup idea, we did that as well. On the WOVA app, I had a non-residential commercial happy hour where we filled the room. It was downstairs at the lobby bar. Just tons of great conversations. A couple things not to do is send out mass emails on the WOVA app. Huge turnoff. The other thing not to do is send out messages to people saying, would love to spend 15 minutes with you, meet up with you during the Best Ever Conference. And my reply to all of those is, awesome. Tell me what the agenda is. Radio silence. So these people, probably capital raisers or salespeople, they mass marketed everybody that same message. But when somebody asks, what are we going to talk about? Crickets, right? So don't do that. Be respectful of people's time. And another highlight I failed to mention was I was, again, one of the judges for the Pitch Slam competition. So all of you Best Ever listeners, if you have a deal or a fund or something you're raising capital for, apply to be a presenter for the Best Ever Pitch Slam. This year, we had 14 presenters, a wide array of deals, and interestingly enough, not a single multifamily presentation. Nobody was up there pitching multifamily. It was a ton of diverse asset classes. It's such a fun Shark Tank style competition. And the winner of that gets a $400,000 check from us, the judges. We write the checks. And the second place winner gets a $200,000 check, plus a bunch of notoriety, a bunch of recognition. So I would highly encourage you, if you are looking to raise capital, want to get your brand, your name, your deal out there, apply to be a presenter for the Pitch Slam.
Yeah, Pitch Slam was very cool. One of my favorite presentations of the entire conference.
My advice for 2025, getting ready for that conference, mirrors very similarly what you guys were saying. And I will say, I'm one of those guys who did bring business cards in previous years, who didn't this year. A piece of advice that I actually got from Travis Watts, who just wrapped up his Passive Investor Tips show for the Best Ever Podcast, was that specific to conferences like this, get business cards with a blank white matte back on them, because there are so many people who don't have business cards but end up wanting to give you their contact information. If you've got a pen and an empty back on your business card, they can write their name, number, email on it and hand it to you. And I found that advice very helpful. I'll also say that I came out of the conference with a list of 12 people I wanted to make sure that I followed up with. I flew home late on Friday. By Monday afternoon, I had reached out to all 12 of them, primarily to let them know that I was interested, but I was also very busy. So I started scheduling those follow-up conversations for next week to make sure that I stay in touch with those people that I identified as being the potential key relationships that could provide value to both me and them moving forward. One more thing that I've seen some people, especially capital raisers, but people across commercial real estate specialties, I've seen a lot of them, not what Ash is talking about, where you send out a mass message to everyone to see who responds and then you don't actually reply when they ask you what you want to talk about. I've seen some high caliber people use the Whova app and their own network to figure out who's going to be at the conference and connect with them in advance, so that they're effectively doing their networking before they arrive, so that they can go ahead and have on their calendar a lot of high quality one-on-ones where they already know who they're meeting with, they already know the topic, they already know how they could potentially add value to one another, and they're using the conference as an opportunity to have those several hundred investors all together in one place and getting their one-on-ones, their dozen, their 20 one-on-ones over the course of 4 days booked in advance. That's something I definitely need to take more seriously for the conference in 2025. Again, the website for getting your tickets is BEC2025. That link is in the show notes. Ticket sales are live. Ticket prices do go up as the conference gets closer. So we all recommend that you get your tickets now, if you're certain that you are able and ready to go.
Slocum, before we wrap up, I want to add one more quick thing. Joe Cornwell and I hung out quite a bit, and one of our absolute best highlights from this conference was meeting you guys, the best ever listeners. We had so many people that came up to us and told us what we're doing right and what Joe's doing wrong. And Joe would often ask these best ever listeners who the better podcast host was. And many of them try to avoid answering the question until Joe kept pestering them. And they finally gave their answer and Joe didn't really like it, didn't work out in his favor. But there was a lot of fun there. And again, that was truly a highlight for all of us, was meeting you guys and girls, the best ever listeners.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I usually get the, you have a great late night FM DJ voice compliment, and something about how people like the questions that I ask. But yeah, it's always fun. The Best Ever Conference definitely feels like playing with home field advantage, I think, for all three of us, in that so many people there who we don't know and haven't had the opportunity to meet already feel like they know us and are excited to meet us. I was very surprised my first year and my second year after I'd been a host for a full year, how many people wanted their selfies with me. That was not something that I was ready for. That said, best ever listener, thank you for your appreciation and your support. Hopefully you can keep Asha's ego in check as well as Joe's at the conference next year. If you gain value from this roundtable, conversation about the last conference and the conference coming up next year, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to, because they should be at the conference with us next year. Thank you, and have a best ever day.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.